When Timothy Snyder found himself fighting for his life in the emergency room with an abscess in his liver and infection flooding his bloodstream, he used the word malaise to describe his condition. Little did he know how prophetic that word choice would be. His harrowing journey through 5 hospitals over 3 months exposed the profound dysfunction of American healthcare, a system prioritizing profit over patient care at every turn. Despite having excellent insurance, connections at Yale, and the educational capital to advocate for himself, Snyder nearly died from medical neglect. Doctors had noted but neglected a liver lesion during his appendectomy, discharging him with insufficient antibiotics. In New Haven, he remained in sepsis for 8 hours before receiving antibiotics, far beyond Britain's NHS recommendation of treatment within 1 hour. Only after 9 more hours did someone finally discover the neglected liver abscess had grown to the size of a baseball. This personal ordeal exposed a stark reality. American healthcare fails at every stage of life. Maternal care is grossly inadequate, with Black women dying in childbirth at rates 3 to 4 times higher than white women. Americans die younger than people in 23 European countries, with the gap between U.S. life expectancy and comparable countries growing from 1 year in 1980 to 4 years by 2020. This disparity represents millions of lives cut unnecessarily short by a system that puts profits before people. History shows how denying healthcare has been weaponized as a tool of oppression. The Nazis used lack of medical care in ghettos to justify genocide, while Stalin's Gulag allocated healthcare based solely on prisoner productivity, treating humans as disposable resources. Paradoxically, American leaders helped establish healthcare as a universal human right after World War II, playing crucial roles in both the WHO Constitution, 1946, and Universal Declaration of Human Rights, 1948. Today, nations that constitutionally protect healthcare rights demonstrate better health outcomes than the U.S. The American tendency to silently endure pain often leads to devastating consequences. Without access to proper care or support, many turn to self-medication, fueling addiction, particularly in rural and working-class communities where seeking help is stigmatized. The opioid crisis exemplifies how our healthcare system's failures, combined with cultural attitudes toward pain, create widespread suffering. When healthcare becomes a privilege instead of a right, the entire society suffers. Even those with access receive diminished care. The stark contrast between childbirth experiences in different healthcare systems reveals profound societal values. In Vienna, parents receive comprehensive care through a mother-child passport, tracking medical details from conception through early childhood. After birth, mothers and babies stay hospitalized for 96 hours in private rooms, with daily sessions teaching everything from diapering to infant development. The American experience differs dramatically, with systems prioritizing billing codes over human needs. Parents leave maternity wards after just 48 hours, typically armed only with basic instructions and limited support resources. Austrian families depart hospitals with substantial care packages, baby supplies, and access to free services, including home visits from family support workers, public child care centers, and quality schools. These benefits come at minimal cost when parents commit to recommended pediatric care and vaccinations. In America, parents often feel isolated and overwhelmed, facing parenthood largely alone. While America celebrates individual freedom, this ideology fails at birth, when self-reliance becomes impossible. True freedom requires solidarity. Children need intensive care in their first 5 years, borrowing time that can only be repaid to future generations. The COVID-19 pandemic exposed how healthcare systems fail when truth becomes politicized. In early 2020, the federal government failed in 2 crucial areas: coherent storytelling and comprehensive testing. Despite slashing public health budgets, officials baselessly claimed coronavirus risk remained low. Throughout winter, the virus spread silently while leadership praised China's response and ignored health officials' warnings. By late February, the U.S. had tested just 352 people compared to South Korea's 75,000. This lost time proved devastating. By April, South Korea had fewer than 10 daily cases while America reported 25,000. The fixation on maintaining artificially low infection numbers rather than addressing the actual crisis revealed dangerous magical thinking, confusing absence of testing with absence of infection. This mirrors how tyrants historically resist acknowledging catastrophes they've helped create. When governments prioritize appearance over reality in healthcare, citizens suffer needlessly. The pandemic also revealed how doctors have lost authority in our healthcare system. While physicians worked extraordinarily hard treating COVID patients, often pulling 24-hour shifts and sleeping in their cars to avoid infecting their families, they had little say in policy decisions. Hospital administrators and government officials, many without medical backgrounds, made crucial decisions about patient care protocols and resource allocation. Commercial medicine treats patients as widgets, with hospitals having financial incentives to discharge patients quickly rather than ensure complete recovery. Medicare's diagnosis-related group payment system encourages shorter hospital stays, while insurance companies' pre-authorization requirements often delay necessary treatments. This profit-driven system ensures we're always unprepared for epidemics, as maintaining reserve beds and equipment costs money. Electronic health records, designed more for billing than patient care, further reduce doctor-patient interaction time, with studies showing physicians now spend more time on paperwork than with patients. Though many individual healthcare workers genuinely care about patients, the system pits hospital algorithms against insurance company algorithms in a battle over profits rather than health outcomes. We must rebalance solitude and solidarity in American healthcare. Universal healthcare would improve both medical treatment and societal equity, enabling broader participation in public life. Growing wealth inequality increasingly divides the experiences of a privileged few from the majority, undermining democratic principles. The focus shouldn't be on reform costs, but on societal benefits. Strong public health systems reduce long-term medical expenses and pandemic risks through prevention. Private insurance merely adds complexity while extracting profits, like trolls collecting tolls. We need a single-payer system with limited private insurance, as thousands of doctors advocate. Even market economist Friedrich Hayek endorsed comprehensive social insurance, recognizing no conflict between state-provided security and individual liberty. Other developed nations prove universal coverage can thrive alongside market economies. Recovery isn't about returning to the past, it's about becoming something new. We must stay angry. Not just for ourselves, but for all Americans denied access to effective health care. Millions face impossible choices between health and financial survival. Our medical system should recognize health care as a fundamental human right. We are not mere statistics, but people who deserve dignity and compassion. Each of us carries both a torch against darkness and serves as part of the collective raft carrying us through life's challenges. Health represents our shared vulnerability and opportunity to grow together. Healing our national malady would save lives, extend liberty beyond the privileged few, and allow all to pursue happiness. Our scars, both personal and societal, remind us of our shared humanity and the urgent need for change.